Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Miles, for learning to lean. I haven't heard that in a long time. And you're right, it is one of those songs. So thank you very much. And the church, you did a good job in bringing that song to life. So thank you all for that. This morning, it's good for us all to be here. God has blessed us once again. And you know, many of us don't think we are being blessed. But when you look at the alternative, you realize just how great your blessings are. So God is good once again, as He is always. God is always good, and God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, our wonderful Heavenly Father, You have blessed us, O Lord, to be here once again. Lord, with not counting the snow, it is a beautiful day. And even with the snow, it is still a beautiful day. Because we have seen it all. We have seen the sunshine. We have seen the lack of snow. And now we are seeing the power of snow as it comes down from the heavens.
Amen.
We are seeing You in the snow because it is Your power that brings us the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for blessing us all to be able to come out once again to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray for the entire congregation. In particular, we pray, O Heavenly Father, for all those who are trying their best to live and do right, live a righteous life. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member here today. Thank You for the leadership. Thank You for those who teach, those who sing, lead the song service, those who work on the communion table, those who work at the collection, and those brothers who do anything, everything, and all things. Father, we pray for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that we have been blessed once again. Please continue to bless us now as we go into this portion of our services. Watch over and keep us and give blessings unto those who are sick and shut in, who are not able to be with us. Bless those who may still be on their way, that they may have safe passage. Bless those who may be traveling today, that their passages may be straight and well also. Thanking You, O Heavenly Father, because it was Your Son, Jesus, who came to this world to hang, to bleed, and to die on yonder's cross, that we may have this right to the tree of life that we have and we enjoy today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all things that You do for us. And it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask all these blessings. Let the entire congregation say amen.
Amen.
This morning, before I get started, I'll ask Brother Hill. Brother Hill, what time does the Super Bowl start? 5:30. Okay, we will probably be out of here by then. So just wanted to give heads up to all of those of you who are going to be in for the Super Bowl today. And I know many of you are, and a lot of people are. But be careful out there. Don't rush to your destination today because it is kind of slippery. So be careful and remember your upbringing when you get to your Super Bowl celebration. So let us remember God ask God to be with us as we go on into that phase of our day today. Ask Him to help us and keep us as we go now into our services. In Acts chapter 6, there's a story in there. Acts chapter 6, and the verse that you were read for your hearing was verses number 5 through verse number 8. But we're going to also cover a little bit more than that. But first of all, I want you to learn for a subject that there's a lot that you can do when you're full of faith and power. The title of our subject is Full of Faith and Power. But there's a lot. But I'll tell you, when you've got a lot of faith, when you're full of faith, you become an enemy to Satan. The more faith you have, the worse the higher you are placed on his hit list to get you on his list, rather. So in today's text, there's a message for all of us as Christians, and the message is plain and the message is simple. Either Satan wants you or he already has you. If we are Christian, he wants us. If we are not, then he already has us. So the question is this, today for us, which side of that line do you stand on? Which side are you standing on? So in this text for the day in Acts chapter 6, look at verse number 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Proxus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenion and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, of whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did wonders and miracles among the people. It behooves all of us to be full of faith if we want to serve the Lord. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when you think about it, church, pleasing God is something that we all should be in tune to doing. Satan is after all of us, especially those of whom he does not already have, especially those who are Christians. When we live for Christ, we are marked for destruction by Satan. Today's lesson is about one whom we can watch and see it. He never backed down, never gave up, even all the way unto his death. Let us be today uplifted and encouraged by Stephen as we look at the Word of God this morning. So who was this man? Who was Stephen? We know according to Acts 6:5 that he was a man that was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. We know from verse number 3, he was a man of wisdom. He was a model for those who stand up on today's battlefield for Christ. Why, somebody may ask? Because he stood upon his conviction. He didn't move from what he believed in. He stayed the course. He followed all the way through from his beginning to his end. According to Acts chapter 6 and verse number 8. Look at verse number 8 again. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He didn't stop working for the Lord. This brought about a dispute with certain people of the synagogue. There is little doubt, I should say, we who stand up for Christ will be challenged. Oh yeah, you're going to be challenged. Now, I don't know where your challenge may come from. It may come from within your own household. It may come on your job. It may come when you meet someone out in the street. But trust me, you're going to be challenged about your belief in Jesus Christ. And it behooves each and every one of us to know, when the challenge comes, to know something about God's Word. In today's world, when we are challenged about the realities of the power of Christ, the existence of Christ, and the truth about heaven. You know, and there's some truth. There is a truth about heaven that we all need to be aware of, because that's where we all seek to get to. Isn't that right, church? If you're not seeking to get to heaven, then I would ask the question, why are you here today? Why are you wasting your time if you're not looking to get into heaven? If you're not looking to get into heaven, you might have time better spent somewhere else, because your mind may be somewhere else anyway if it's not on heaven. The truth about heaven is great. We must become like Stephen, and we must know the Word of God as well as have the ability to defend the Word of God. There are many good traits left by Stephen for our learning, but one that I like the best is found in verse 3 of Acts number 6. Verse 3 in Acts number 6 says, "Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report." And this is the part that I like. "Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, this was where they were deciding that they needed some help in doing the work of the Lord. And what you need to understand this morning, church, is that you cannot do it all by yourself. You've got to get some help sometimes. You've got to reach out to others. Where I started at, I started to find when I read that word about men of wisdom. No one without wisdom can stand up against Satan. Without wisdom, it is impossible for us to stand against Satan. Wisdom goes all the way to the grave, according to what Job said in Job chapter 12 and verse number 2. Wisdom shall die with you. Once you get wisdom, it's yours to keep forever if you just hold on to it. Many today equate wisdom with riches. But the question was also raised by Job in Job 28 and verse number 12. He asked, Where shall wisdom be found? Then he said, it cannot be gotten for gold, nor can it be gotten for silver. But church, I think I found the answer to where you can get wisdom from. You can get wisdom through the Word of God. And just where does wisdom come from? Well, in James chapter 1 and verse number 5, when I looked in my Bible, it told me that this, it said, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God will give it to you, but you must go to him and ask him. And you, in verse number 6, clears it all. He said, but let him ask in faith with nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea and driven in with the wind and loosed. Now what are you talking about, preacher? Well, when you get a man who wavers in his faith and his wisdom and who goes to God in, with a wavy attitude, he's like that sea that when the wind picks up, the waves just seem to move the boat in any direction that it wants to. It rocks the boat. So when we don't ask in faith, we are rocky. We are on rocky ground. Isn't that right, church? When you don't ask in faith, how can you expect the Lord to take you seriously? And I know what some of us say. Well, preacher, when I go to the Lord, I always have faith. But does your faith carry you beyond asking? See, you have faith maybe when you ask for something because you want that something to be granted unto you. But where is your faith before and after that? So we know who Stephen is. He was a man full of power and full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. So now we know who Stephen is. But Stephen did have some power too, church. As Christians, we may not necessarily have the power to perform great wonders and miracles, but what we can do is to tell others about the powers, the blessings, and the grace that our Lord and Savior has in His arsenal. You know what, church? When I think about how good the Lord is to us, and you may not take everything that the Lord does for you, you may take many of those things for granted, but do you not know, or did you not know that if the Lord hadn't been there, you wouldn't have woken up this morning. You wouldn't have got up this morning. You wouldn't have had the breakfast that was served to you this morning. And if you had to cook it, you wouldn't have had the ability to cook it for yourself. God is good to us. And when you looked out the window and you saw that it was white outside, and were you among those who complained because we didn't get any snow? Or are you one of the ones who said we're getting too much snow? But it's God's weather, and God can send His weather anytime and any way that He wants to. And it's His to give and to give back and to take back whenever He wants to. But we can be like Stephen. We can be, verse number 8 of chapter 6 tells it all. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And yes, there is power as long as your faith is in Christ Jesus. Do you remember what he said? Flip over with me, if you will, to John chapter 1 and round verse number 12. Look what the Bible says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You want power? You got to go to Jesus Christ. And then, when I think about it all the time, church, I look out sometimes at folk as they're moving about in this world. And you see that there are people out there, and this is one of the reasons I say you're going to be challenged. when you believe in Jesus Christ, when you become full of faith and become a believer. Because nobody wants to accept the fact that God can do what I want. Let me rephrase that. Many people won't accept the fact that God can do what He wants to do, how He wants to do it, when and where He wants to do it, and if He wants to do it. But yet there are those who would say that, I just can't believe that God is like that. Well, you don't have to believe that God is like that. Just hang around long enough and you'll see that God is like that. So then, Stephen was able to perform these great wonders and these miracles among the people. But on the other hand, how do we know what joy and power and peace may come on others when we speak Jesus Christ to them? In other words, are we helping others by visiting them when they are sick? Are we offering to show others the pathway to Christ? In our text of Acts chapter 7, around and starting at verse number 54, this is where I told you we're going to move into some other portions. After Stephen had spoken, watch what difference it made. In Acts chapter 7, around verse 54, watch this. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Stephen spoke to these folk, and these folk began to change somewhat. These folk, these accusers of Stephen, when they were presented with Jesus, some of them began to look a little differently at things. That's what may happen when you talk Jesus to somebody. You never know how you may be affecting their heart. And I don't mean this heart. I always tell you this. When I speak heart, I'm talking about the heart, your mind, not the heart. Because I can't affect your heartbeat, your heart, the condition of your heart. God's Word, God is the only one who knows when to put a stop to your heart. But He is looking at the heart of your mind. After Stephen had spoke to them, they began to feel a little bit different. When we present Jesus to someone, we may persuade their hearts to change, and they may come to Christ. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what it's all about when you get someone to believe in what you are trying to teach them? And we talk about inreach and outreach all the time, but I'll tell you something about inreaching and outreaching. You got to get an audience to inreach and outreach too. And if you get that audience, you've got to be able to speak Jesus to them. And when you learn to defend the Word of God, you'll be in a better shape, better condition than you were before you learned to speak God. When we get someone to change their mind or change their heart and come to Christ. But I want you to be warned, and I want you to make no mistake about it. The more we follow Jesus Christ, the more Satan wants to destroy us. The more we follow Jesus Christ, the more Satan wants us. You remember that old poster that used to be up for the government when Uncle Sam wants you? Well, Satan wants you too. But Satan wants to do more harm to you than the United States government does. So when you think about it, church, remember that Satan is out to destroy us. And you remember what 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 says? Our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion that walketh about seeing whom he may devour. He's looking for us. He's looking for us. And some of us, I may as well just tell you the truth, some of us are just waiting for him to come our way. Some of us are saying, I'm daring you to come my way because you may be able to tip the scales with me. If you're not a strong Christian, he will tip the scales with you. He went after Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Can you believe the boldness of Satan? If he went after Jesus, what do you think he'll come after us with? We are not as strong as Jesus Christ. We're only as strong as we are in Christ. But by ourselves, we can't do it. So if he tried Jesus, guess what he'll do to you? Jesus warned Peter. Do you remember in Luke chapter 22 where he warned Peter? He said, Satan wants to sift you. Now, if any of you don't remember what that is, if you're not old enough, years ago, they used to use a hand sifter. And they used to pour the flour in the meal or whatever it was they put in, and then they'd sift it. That means they would grind it up. I see some of you bowing your heads. I know you know what I'm talking about. You were down in the country, or you were raised up with folk that was from the country. So they sift the stuff, the ingredients, to put it in the bread or to put it in the pan or the bowl to make the cake or to make the bread. And Jesus told Peter, Satan wants to sift you. He wants to ground you up. He wants to make you to be a part of him. That's what he's trying to do to us. And if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in it. But Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith fail him not. And I tell you something. There's something about prayer. We ought to share Jesus with others. This is why Stephen was told he was accused. He was accused because he knew and he spoke about God. But I like the part where Jesus prayed for Peter. I like that part because I think that a Christian always should have a prayer in his heart and on his lips. Anybody that knows Jesus ought to be always willing to have a prayer for him. But, you know, as I get ready to round this thing and bring it on home, I want to talk about Stephen's persecution and his prayer. When we live up to what is expected of us according to the Word of God, we can expect persecution. Look at Acts chapter 6 and verse number 11, if you will. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. And they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. They'll make up stuff on you. People will make up stuff on you. And don't let it be you caught in a situation between a man and a woman. Now, no matter what you are doing, I knew him and her had something going. You can be helping the person, but everybody, people will come up with it. They're messing around together. That's persecution from within. But sometimes you get it from without. You get it from home. Sometimes you get it on the job. Look like your boss just won't let you alone. He or she won't leave me alone. It's making me cuss sometimes. That's what we say it's making us do after we've cussed. But nevertheless, Christians have been persecuted and their faith becomes weakened sometimes. Sometimes. For thousands of years, Christians have been persecuted. In today's lesson, we can see that being the kind of Christian that Stephen was caused him, like so many others, to die for his belief and his stand for God. And so I ask the question this morning, would you lay down your life for the Lord? The Lord laid down his life for us. Do you care enough to say, I'll give him my very best? And your very best might entail you dying for the cause of Christ. But thank God this morning that we live in a country where we're not persecuted because of our religious conviction and our religious beliefs. I thank God for that. You know, there are still people in some parts of the world afraid to be caught with Bibles. But thank God we live in a country where we don't have to do that. Stephen was lied upon. Look at Acts chapter 6 and verse number 13. And set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Oh yeah, they began to bring up false witnesses. But do you recall in Matthew chapter 26, where they brought false witnesses against Jesus as well? Two of them came up, according to Matthew 26. Two false witnesses came up. People will lie on us today. Thus, the persecution and all the lying against Stephen. He saw something. Look at Acts chapter 7 once again in verse number 55. He saw something while he was there. Start with verse number 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But watch this. But he, now that's talking about Stephen, he being full of the Holy Ghost, he did what? He looked up steadfastly toward heaven
and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. What a relief that must have been. Here this man was about to give up his life, but he looked up and he saw heaven and he saw Jesus and God standing, Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Look at what it says in verse number 55. But being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Oh, now I tell you something, church. When you can look up and see Jesus in your life, that's a good thing. But here Stephen was about to lose his life. When people lie on us today through the persecution and all the lying that we go through, sometimes we might begin to feel like Stephen. But you got to hold on and don't be swayed by what's going on around you. You've got to hold real tight to God's unchanging hand. I tell you something, church. He saw that in verse number 55, and I'm willing to say that he had a better feeling about it. Look at verse number 56, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." His testimony can be seen even more in verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran up unto him with one accord. But look at verse number 58. Cast him out of the city and stone him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now we know him as Paul. But Paul was there when they stoned Stephen to death. Isn't that right, church? Oh, yes. And they stoned Stephen. But look what Stephen was doing when they stoned him. And they stoned Stephen in verse 59, calling upon God and saying, "Lord, receive my spirit." Oh, even when you're in the toughest of times, and even if it's calling for your life, you still ask God to accept you in. Isn't that what Stephen did? And sometimes when I tell Christians about praying all the time, some of them have told me, "I don't really know how to pray." I say, "Do you know how to say thank you? If you know how to say thank you, sometimes that's all you need to do and the Lord will understand. He already knows what you're thanking Him for anyway. But just sometimes, just tell Him, say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. What am I thanking you for? I'm thanking you that you gave me that last breath that I breathed. I'm thanking you for the next breath that you give me that I'm going to breathe. I'm thanking you that you have been with me, that you gave your life for me. I'm thanking you because you are God and I know no other than God." When you thank Him, Stephen prayed that prayer in verse 59 for God to receive his spirit. But I want you to look at verse number 60 also. "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice." Listen to this. Here they were killing Stephen, but look what he did. He said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Here this man was being stoned to death, just like Jesus on the cross. And he asked God to forgive them, for they knew not what he was doing. Stephen was doing the same thing. And he asked them to don't charge them for this act that they're doing to me. How many times have you been able to forgive somebody, but you chose not to forgive them? "I don't think I want to forgive him." You don't say that. "I'm not going to accept his apology." But that's what you're doing. That's what you're saying. "Lord, they came to me and asked me for they begged my pardon. They said they were sorry, but I'm not in a mood to forgive them today." Does a forgiving day, is there a certain day of the week for forgiveness? I don't think so. I think that any time your brother comes to you or your sister comes to you and asks you for forgiveness, you ought to forgive them. Because sometimes it takes some people a little bit longer to come to you to ask for forgiveness. But I remember in the book of Psalms, in chapter 67, go over to Psalms chapter 67 in verse number 2 with me, if you will. Psalms, I think we all ought to read this. Psalms 67 and verse number 2. Watch what it says right now. That they may be known upon the earth. No, I'm sorry, I wanted verse, I believe it's verse 12. Psalm 67 and verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, that thy saving help among all nations. Look at this. Look at verse number 1 though first. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That's what I wanted. God bless us. David, the psalmist, was asking, or whoever wrote this psalm was asking God to be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. When I think about it, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. And when I think about that message about Stephen, when I think about what the Bible said about Stephen, that he was full of faith and had power. Now, where does this power come from? Well, the power is given through Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, church, that without Christ, we are nothing. We are nothing. And Stephen is a good example for us. Because even though he was losing his life, he still remembered to pray. And some of us, we are not losing our lives, but we don't pray. And I'm not accusing anybody in here. But some of us just don't pray. We'll get up out of the bed early in the morning, put on our clothes, head right out the door, before we head out the door, go to the breakfast table, sit down and eat, go right out the door, never saying thank you, Lord, for none of that. But I got to thank you. We all should, and I believe that we should. I want to say thank him before you get in bed, because you can't watch over yourself while you're sleeping. Thank him that he'll keep you through the night, and then thank him again in the morning for doing just that, because he woke you up. You didn't wake yourself up. And that radio that popped on, if you still got one of those old clock radios, that popped on in the morning. Who do you think woke that radio up? That radio had to come on by some reason. And I know what some say, well, that's because of electricity. Where do you think electricity came from? That's God too. Everything on this earth belongs to God. And every time we find something new in this world, they say we have discovered a new means or a new method of doing this or that. God wanted them to see that new means or that method. It wasn't brand new. God has seen it all before. Because doesn't the Bible say that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? That means he owns everything. So when, just in case you're thinking how you can become a better Christian, become, ask the Lord to give you more faith. Ask him to increase your faith. And become full of faith. And then God will give you the power. Now, he may not give you the power to change water into wine like he did. But he may give you the power to just speak to somebody and help them to feel better. He may give you the power to say to someone, I know a man who can take care of all of your issues. I know somebody who can help you out of what you're going through today. I know somebody who will be there when you need him. Wasn't he there for Stephen? He can be there for you and I too. All we got to do is just go to him. And you know, God, Christ doesn't ask a lot of us. We don't have to give a lot. We come to church once a week, one day a week. That's all. One day a week. That's all we have to serve God. That's all he asks us to come to church on one day out of a week. You got 6 days to do whatever you care to do. You got 5 of them you're probably going to work. What are you going to do with the 6th and the 7th? Well, the 6th you say I'm going to rest. The 7th you say I'm going to sleep a little bit later, but I'm getting up and going to church. That's what you ought to do. And I know now, like I said, today is Super Bowl, so you're going to give part of your 7th day to that. Now, I don't know who's going to win, because Brother Carter really doesn't care, because he's not a football fan. So all I know is that everybody makes such a big deal out of it, and the poor chickens are worse than the turkey.
Because they got to take all of those chicken wings to feed the people with. Because that's Super Bowl food, they tell me. But be careful out there. Because they say this is a dangerous holiday. So be very careful out there. And if you're not a member of the Lord's body, how do I become a member of the Lord's body? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, then being baptized. If you've already done that in your past life, but you need to get yourself back together, you need to get straight and back on the right path, you can come as we together stand and sing the invitation song.